Our text is taken once again from Psalm 23, and we will read all six verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. We thank you, our Father, for your holy word. We thank you that we are instructed from divine truth. We thank you that we have the sure word of God to guide us in our lives, to give us strength, to give us fortitude, to give us joy, to supply our hearts, our souls, and our minds with the good things from you, that we might live acceptably before you by your free and your sovereign grace. Instruct us from your truth this morning. Might we delight in the word of God. Might we be strengthened. Might we be fortified. Might we be enabled by your grace to live day by day, manifesting your love, your righteousness, your grace, your mercy in our lives. Guide us now as we open your truth, glorify yourself, feed and edify your people, and awaken, we pray, the unconverted. This we commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin our final study of Psalm 23 with a short review. I remind you again that Psalm 23 is the center of a trilogy of psalms. Psalm 22, the Savior's cross, with emphasis on the grace of God. Here portrayed prophetically by David as a prophet, is a very thorough account, a very stark account of both the physical and the spiritual sufferings of our Lord on the cross. Psalm 23, the shepherd's crook, with emphasis on the guidance of God, our present experience with our Lord as the good shepherd, directing us, caring for us, providing for us, sacrificing for us. Psalm 24, the sovereign's crown, with emphasis on the glory of God. This has great prophetic, speaking from the standpoint of David the author, has great prophetic significance for us as believers, as we see its fulfillment in the New Testament. And now, as we look at verse 6, our theme and outline that we have used in our study, a day in the life of a sheep. In verse 1, the shepherd and the sheep. In verse 2, morning in the meadows. Verse 3, midday on the mountains. Verses 4 and 5, the evening and its evils. And finally, verse 6, the sheepfold and its safety. And I read again verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We want to make some comments now on the scene before us in verse 6. David, we believe, when he wrote this psalm, was an old man and an aged king, having ruled for close to 40 years over Israel. He looks back over his entire life in this psalm before us, and he meditates, especially in verse 6, upon God's care throughout his entire life. And now, in the evening of his life, night has fallen in verse 6, and he reminisces about God's gracious and personal faithfulness and care for him. In this psalm, David looks back over his life's journey. In verse 1, the favored place, following the shepherd and never lacking. In verses 2 and 3, the normal place, the lush green pastures, the still waters, the upward climb to the mountain pasture. In verse 4, the fearful place, as he descends in the evening close by his shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death. In verse 5, the dangerous place, as God cares for him, provides for him in the very presence of his enemies. And finally, in verse 6, the abiding place and the journey's end, as he comes back to the sheepfold once again. As we draw this picture, consider verses 4, 5, and 6. The shepherd leads the flock now back to the entrance of the sheepfold at the bottom of that dark gorge in the bottomland. They have had their final feeding. They have found their final watering. The shepherd has examined each sheep individually of the flock and medically attended to any problem, infection, scratch, or tear. And now he leads them back to the sheepfold. As the shepherd leads the sheepdogs form the rear guard, and they keep the flock together. The shepherd is at front, the sheepdogs are behind. They sniff the air for any suspicious scent, and they listen for any sound of predators. They trot behind to keep the flock together and orderly. Once the sheep are safely in the sheepfold, the shepherd and his sheepdogs lie down at the entrance. They literally form the door of the sheepfold and provide its safety and its quietness, that the sheep might rest and sleep. Even when the sheep are safely sleeping, the shepherd and the sheepdogs are present and will awake in a moment to perfect and defend the flock. And now some necessary details from the text in verse 6. Surely, the Hebrew gives us somewhat of an exclamation. Surely, or as some would translate this, only. Both emphasize God's care and supervision. Nothing escapes for us divine providence. But this raises a question, does it not? How can it be said that surely or only goodness and mercy shall follow me when life has its share of trials, disappointments, adversities, and afflictions? The answer can be found for us in the New Testament in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Most of us know this from memory. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But I want to note two things here at least that might escape us in our English translation. In the original language, there are two words for know. One is to know in the context of experience. I know something because I have experienced it. The other word means simply to perceive. And here in the context of Romans 8:28, it is to perceive by faith. We may not have experienced it yet, but we perceive by faith. Then there is an emphatic word order. And we know by faith, we perceive by faith, that to the ones loving God emphatically, all things are constantly working together for good to them that are called according to God's purpose. All things may not be good in and of themselves, but they all work together for good. David himself could declare this at the end of his life as he looked back over his varied experiences, the years that he was in hiding and fleeing for Saul, the great tragedies within his life. Now, at the evening of his life, he could say, "Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the perspective of the true child of God. Let me illustrate this from the lives of two men. One, Henry Scougal, perhaps a name unknown to you. The other, Voltaire, certainly a name that is more familiar. Henry Scougal wrote a little book entitled The Life of God in the Soul of Man. This book led to the conversion of the great George Whitefield. At the end of his life, Scougal wrote in his memoirs, "I am this day such and such an age, and I bless God that ever I was born." This is the testimony of a believer. Contrast this with Voltaire, the Enlightenment author and opponent of Christianity. He wrote much the same, with an altogether different conclusion. In his old age, he penned, "I am this day so-and-so, and wish that I had never been born." What an awful summarization of one's life, but a life lived in opposition to God and his truth. We, as Henry Scougal, must view everything in the context of God's eternal redemptive purpose and loving kindness. As with the sheep and its shepherd, our lives have been ordered and directed by God. The sheep, its life was directed and ordered by the shepherd. No missteps, no wandering. Everything was ordered and directed by the shepherd, and our lives have been ordered and directed by the good shepherd, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Divine providence is all-inclusive. There is never room for mistake or chance. And the controlling principle is not a stark, cold providence, but indeed God's providence as redemptive and covenant love. Note the words of an old hymn written in the 1600s and often sung in our congregation. "Whate'er my God ordains is right, his holy will abideth. I will be still whate'er he doth, and follow where he guideth. He is my God, though dark my road. He holds me that I shall not fall. Wherefore to him I leave it all. Whate'er my God ordains is right. He never will deceive me. He leads me by the proper path. I know he will not leave me. I take content what he has sent. His hand can turn my griefs away, and patiently I wait his day. That could have been written even by the psalmist David himself. For believers, and this is extremely important, for believers, the past guarantees the future and its blessedness. Christian experience by the grace of God is cumulative. David's testimony, as he reminisces over his entire life, culminates in, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Listen to the words of John Newton. John Newton, once a drunkard, causing the entire ship's company when he was a sailor to mutiny. A profligate, a wicked man, a slave trader, and ending up himself as the slave to the black wife of a Portuguese slave trader in Africa. He was converted during a storm on a return trip to Oak, England. He became a pastor of note and a hymn writer. As he looks to the past and anticipates the future, he wrote these words in one of his hymns. His love in time past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in sorrows to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good promise to see me right through. The past guarantees the future for the child of God. We move to consider the two words now, goodness and mercy. They are here representative of God's two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy. Goodness may mean prosperity. It can refer to a variety of things. It means in relationships to act rightly or correctly toward one. The word mercy has the sense of loving kindness and faithfulness. God is our shepherd, always acts correctly, rightly toward us, and is faithful in his loving kindness. He has destined us for glory, and nothing can set this aside. Spurgeon wrote, quote, "Goodness supplies our needs, and mercy blots out our sins." And I'm going to quote now from a modern writer. "God's goodness takes care of my steps, and his mercy takes care of my stumbles. His goodness meets our needs, and his mercy forgives all our faults. His goodness leads to repentance, and his mercy leads to faith. His goodness caused the prodigal son to come back home, and mercy ran to meet him." God's goodness is God's hand, and mercy is God's heart. God has made it clear that his sheep will never be deserted. Look now at the words, "shall follow me." These in the Hebrew are in the imperfect tense, which means an incomplete or a continuous action. It is a strong term here, meaning to pursue, to chase, to run after, or as some have translated it, "good and mercy shall dog my steps," holding to the figure of God's two sheepdogs. And note, it is personal. "Shall follow me," Although the sheep is simply one of the flock, the imagery throughout this psalm emphasizes God's individual care. I, my, me, and mine run throughout the entire psalm. God is by necessity a personal God. And by necessity, our relationship to Him must be personal. Now we consider all the days of my life. This implies that there is not one day in which God does not watch over and determine the circumstances of each individual believer. The shepherd determines each life of the individual sheep. David Livingstone, the great British missionary to Africa, was found one morning by his people dead, kneeling beside his bed. He had passed away in the very act of prayer. His open Bible was on the bed before him and open to Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In the margin of his Bible, he had written these words, the word of a gentleman. Very British, is it not, to describe God's promise as the word of a gentleman. I am with you alway. And I want to note this. Those of you with your Greek New Testaments open can see that it reads pasos tas hemeros, all the days. More specific than alway, but all the days, the bright days, the dark days, the trying days, days of affliction and sorrow, and days of blessing and joy. And lo, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the world. David could have said that in his relationship to the Lord as his shepherd. Look now at the term dwell. This implies settling down in a given place or situation. In our present life and experience, it should be the local assembly of God's people. Here, the pastors feed the flock of God. We are taught, we are edified, we pray together, we fellowship together. Christians, by their very nature, are a communal people. We reach out to others. We pray for one another. We worship together. We sing hymns together. This is our sheepfold in this life, and our eternal dwelling will be forever with the Lord. Let's look now at the house of the Lord. Here is representative of the sheepfold, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It may have immediate reference to the tabernacle, for the temple was not built until David's son, Solomon. But David pitched the tabernacle in the citadel, in the city of David, which was a small place, a fortress within Jerusalem during his reign. When he saw this, he was reminded of the house of the Lord. And do we not call our church building the Lord's house? Is it not where we meet for fellowship, worship, and in blessing? And now finally, the word forever. It is literally in the Hebrew, to length of days. This construction occurs 8 times in the Old Testament. And in 3 of these times at least, it occurs and means forever. That is eternal. By application to David and to God's true people, This looks beyond this life into eternity. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now some closing comments as we conclude our study of Psalm 23. God's goodness and mercy have actively pursued us, dogged our steps, chased us every day of our lives. The words "shall follow me" are in the imperfect, as we have noted. They shall always pursue me. They shall, as some have translated, always dog my steps. This is God's promise to us. Do we see them when we look about us? God's goodness and God's mercy. There was an old widow woman in the highlands of Scotland, in the midst of sheep country, in the 19th century. She lived alone in a small stone hut in this little village. The ladies would come by every day, rekindle the peat fire, and leave her food. She was mostly bedridden, and once a month, the circuit preacher would come by, and he would always visit her before he left that small village. And on one occasion, he said, "Oh, Granny," he said, "it's a shame that you have to be here all alone." She said, "I'm not alone." And he looked around, and there was nobody in that small hut, with a little hearth at one side, the bed and a table at the other. Nobody was there. He said, "Granny, what do you mean?" She said, "I'm not alone. Can you see them at the foot of my bed?" And of course, no one was there. She said, "God's two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, are curled up at the feet of my bed. And they've been here and followed me all the days of my life." I have some personal stories to tell about this. I'll take just a moment. I lost a very dear friend. He lived in Southern California. He was in a military hospital. His wife was visiting him. My wife and I went to see him. It was the last time I saw him before he passed away. And as we talked, I told him, "Dear brother," I said, "God's goodness and mercy, his two sheepdogs are curled up at the foot of your bed." His wife called me some weeks later. She said, "My husband is in heaven now, although he's not dead. He has such glorious presence in his life right now. It's though he was in heaven already. And he wanted me to tell you that when our pastor comes up for the Bible conference, he's going to bring a gift from me and from my husband." The pastor came up 2 months later, and he had this big cardboard box. We opened it up, and there were two stuffed toy sheepdogs. The one had a collar, goodness, and the other had a collar, mercy. I mentioned this when I spoke on Psalm 23 at a Dutch church in Iowa some months later, and this was printed in a booklet, and it was widely distributed. There was a woman in our church at the time who was converted at Le Brie under the influence of Francis Schaeffer. And Francis Schaeffer, the outstanding Christian apologist and philosopher, was dying of cancer. And she made two stuffed toy sheepdogs with collars, goodness and mercy, and took my booklet and mailed it to him for his last birthday. Yes, when you think at night, after a long day, goodness and mercy are curled up at the foot of your bed. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now note that sheepdogs were not always appreciated by the sheep. They would bark. They would chase. They would push the sheep this way and that, but always at the command of the shepherd. Do we realize divine providence, God's goodness and mercy at work in our lives and for our good? Oftentimes we only begin to realize this after the fact. Our path and our journey has been ordained and supervised by our loving heavenly shepherd, the good shepherd, our Lord, and he has ordained that everything will ultimately result in the greatest blessing. All the days, the good, the dark, the trying, the blessed days, winter days, spring days, summer days, and the days of fall. Divine providence is meant for our good and is directed by God himself. He has measured our trials and reveals himself and his grace in times of our weakness and our need. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our present home, the place where we are at home, is among the family of God, the flock of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But our long home is in the presence of the Lord, and we are promised that so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Have we in our study tasted the sweetness of this psalm? Has it ministered to us in the dark times of trial? Have we been able to partake of its blessedness for strength, for compassion, for understanding as we prepare ourselves for prayer in a time of crisis? All of this is ours if we can but say, "The Lord is my shepherd." But what if you cannot? What if you cannot say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Then what must you do? You are not part of God's flock. You cannot say that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Then you must repent. You must turn to God in faith. You must sue for peace and reconciliation through the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the simple words of Scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is the truth, and you will be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And all of these promises will accrue to you by faith in him. Father, bless, we pray, your holy truth. Glorify yourself. Give us comfort. Give us assurance. Give us confidence that we might be able to say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This we commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen.